Good morning, you're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Eric Demery, who's president of Carpet One. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being with me. We're down here in Houston. It's your summer convention, and it's just about midway through. Eric, give us a feel, if you will, for how Carpet One is doing right now with your member count.
Well, you know, we're fortunate from the very beginning. Alan Greenberg and Howard Brodsky, our co-founders and co-CEOs at the time, they made it part of their mission to find the best of the best in retailing, and we've been able to do that. So over the years, we have a very mature group. You know, most of our members have been around quite a number of years. They own their own buildings. They run very efficient and profitable business. So even in an economic downturn, we were pleasantly surprised to see that, you know, out of 940 some odd store locations, our attrition rate last year was we had about 23 members we lost, and we gained 24. So compared that to the industry and what's happened to independents, you know, we're significantly outperforming them. And I think it's a tribute to these owners that have been around quite some time. They run, you know, just a very efficient business. They know how to generate sustainable, profitable growth, even in a downturn. I think it's a tribute to Carpet One being able to provide them with merchandising and product exclusives and private labels and new technologies and internet marketing strategies, all the things that a small independent on their own really could not do. And then collectively together with the networking, what we do at these conventions, that's a huge benefit to all these members.
So you have 950 or so of the most seasoned retailers in the flooring business, and they're successful even during this economic dip. And I know you've been doing this financial benchmarking. What is it that these retailers do as you analyze the way they run their business that makes them successful?
Well, they share their best practices. You know, the best ideas of Carpet One Floor and Home have always come from the members. And part of our culture, it's almost like a fellowship, as one of our retiring board members, Pat Martin, put it, that it's a fellowship of people that care about each other, that freely share what they do in their businesses to help and benefit others. And it shows when you're at this convention. Now, our obligation is to give them an a la carte menu of services, which we do across every discipline. It doesn't matter if it's in merchandising, product, marketing, training, education, technology services, floor planning, real estate services, legal services, et cetera, et cetera. We have just such a basket full of talent and resources and people that small independent business people can leverage and take advantage of. Ultimately, the game is this. You want sustainable, profitable growth. You want to take market share. You want to beat the big guys, the ugly orange and the big blue. You know, they've been aggressive, as you know, last 2 years. They've been tough and formidable. But we're not only holding our own, we're starting to gain some ground, which makes me pretty happy.
Well, I think it was probably brilliant for Howard to hire you because you know the inner workings of the big orange. You just brought him up. Used to work there. That brings me to another question. I mean, since you have all that insight, tell me what you tell these members on, you know, how to win the game versus the home centers.
Well, the first thing I tell the members is Howard is brilliant. You know, it depends. I have a philosophy. Don't pay attention to your competition unless they are constantly and continuously threatening your business. If you constantly, on a day-in and day-out business, are faced with that competitor, then you have to do something about it. And by the way, people don't like words. You know, we have found one of our founders, Sandy Mishkin, likes to say, don't watch the mouth, watch the feet. You know, do something. So every customer, in my opinion, is from Missouri. You know, you better be able to not only understand your competition thoroughly, but you better have a strategy in place that when that consumer that's shopping upwards of three stores now, and God knows how many they're shopping online, when they come to your store, you better have a visual demonstration against that competitor that shows why you're the better choice, whatever that is. Whether it's in your installation package, how you're going to fight them on their $37 whole house install, or you've got better products, you can't verbally tell anybody that. You have to be able to authentically show them why you're the better choice. And that's what we try to teach our members. And we'll do a lot of that during convention. We've got side-by-side comparisons. We've got displays. We've got scripts and education and training. The one thing people don't truly appreciate that aren't part of our group, we don't run between the 20s, Kemp. Doesn't do any good in football. You won't ever score. We go end zone to end zone. When we kick off a campaign like Tigressa, which is just taking this industry by storm, there is no other organization that ran end zone to end zone the way we did with our valued partner, in that case Shaw, with everything that went into it, whether it was national blogging, whether it was sweepstakes, whether it was coupons, whether it was on the internet, traditional media. We had Save the Tiger Fund. We had training modules. We had sales incentives on the floor. We had the best looking POP and display package. And on top of that, at the end of the day, we put together one hell of a collection of products that are great looking and very, very saleable. There isn't another retailer that can do that complete package as well as we can. And that's why we keep attracting more and more folks that want to be part of this organization called Carpet One.
You know, we did some research recently and asked retailers nationwide what their top problems were, and the home centers went from 13% in that answer to 18%. Is that because the economy and people trading down, and so they're going to get the business in a down economy, and as the market starts to recover, it swings back? Or what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. First of all, people are certainly looking for value, and with their marketing muscle and the way they advertise both Lowe's and Depot, don't forget Menards, they're pretty significant. You know, people have the immediate perception that I'm going to get a better price. They're also a little less accepting of quality. They don't expect the same level of service. So they kind of know I'm going to get what I pay for, but I am going to get a better price. And that, to me, is a perception problem. It's tough to overcome. I mean, we know, because we've conclusively proved it, on a total installed price comparison basis, in almost every product category, we are as competitive or better priced than they are. So the one thing that they did, and they did it purposely, and they did it to take away what I believe is a very compelling differentiation for specialty retailers, which is professional installation. You know, they got together and probably said, hey, what do they do better than we do? Well, we're not real good at installation. Well, let's just commoditize installation. You know, it's bad enough they commoditize the whole industry with their pricing strategy and their products. And look at the Stainmaster decision. You know, that had a play into it, the way they treated that brand. And now they said, well, let's just commoditize labor. We'll do $37. You want your whole house installed, we'll do it for $37. By the way, read the fine print. You know, with us, we don't have a lot of fine print. So, but having said that, you and I both know, Kemp, look, this consumer buys this product once, two, three times in their lifetime. The purchase cycle could be 5, 7, 10 years. It's not a repeat purchase often. So the only time they're reading something is when they're ready in the market to buy. So they see these offers, and it attracts traffic. Now, the good news is they still stink at closing sales and selling the consumer, which is good for us. I'm looking forward to the war that I think is going to happen come this fall between, you know, Lowe's with the Stainmaster and Depot with Martha. I think anything they do to build awareness for floor coverings as opposed to other big-ticket purchases will benefit this industry. And we will take more volume from that effort than they will get as a return on their marketing.
You know, you said a long time ago that they don't close very many of the people that go in the home centers. It's a very low number. So, yeah, a lot of they're in there buying light bulbs. The consumer goes in. They kind of ground themselves on what's available. And it's a perfect opportunity for a specialty retailer to come in and differentiate themselves.
Well, it is. You know, we have to realize, look, first of all, they are world-class retailers. The American public and North American Canada have a lot of faith and confidence and trust in both Depot, and they've earned that. They've earned that over the years. And so we would never attack them as not a good retailer. They are. They're a good retailer. Now, when it comes to big ticket, professionally installed products, which is in our wheelhouse, which we know that they do not do well, we have to figure out a way to get more traffic. You know, what frustrates me is that consumers, because of their marketing muscle, because they're out there constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks, it's tough to break through that noise and get into the consideration set. Now, we're getting more and more successful at that, especially through the internet and some other means. But we know, we track it. You know, why is our closing ratio 60%? You know, I don't know what theirs is now, but it wasn't real good when I was there. But we know if we get their traffic into our stores, we're going to get the sale two-thirds of the time. They are good competition, whether we like it or not. The facts are that Sears came and went, furniture stores came and went, Color Tile came and went. People come and go. The home centers commit a huge amount to inventory. They commit sales personnel on the floor and service groups. They commit to major, major amounts of advertising, so they expose the category. They don't sell irregulars and off-goods, although they beat up the price a little bit more than, you know, obviously we would like to see. But that's good competition. What's not good competition is when suppliers go into somebody like a Costco. Now, I'm the first to tell you, they can sell whoever they want, but it irritates the living hell out of me that there's an entity, they slap in a display that takes up 8 feet, they do nothing. They don't promote. They don't advertise. They don't expose the category. They don't stock anything. They don't staff it with qualified salespeople. To me, as an independent retailer, that's an insult to all that I do for you and your product, Mr. Manufacturer. That I build a store, I do advertising, I do marketing, I train my people, I pay my people, I inventory your product. And then you turn around and thank me for that by doing that with a national entity? That, for what reason? And I love this answer. Well, if we don't do it, you know, and somebody else will, right? Okay. So that's the only thing that bothers me in our competitive world of merchandising floor cover.
Well, let's go back to this meeting. That's a great conversation about the home centers and how especially retailers need to compete with them, and you're an expert in that area. At this meeting, I was real impressed. You have a brand new vice president of marketing who I believe came from the cruise line industry, and she stood up there and spoke for an hour, and she rolled out actually some brand changes. And I could tell by the way she was talking, she knows branding. And you're rolling out a new tagline that kind of defines the promise behind your brand. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to find Jessica, and she was with Royal Caribbean Cruise Line. She was kind of the director and marketing brains behind the launch of the Oasis of the Sea, the largest cruise ship. But what attracted me to Jessica was the fact that she understood our model, because she dealt with thousands of independent, small, and big travel agencies. And understanding kind of the uniqueness of them as entrepreneurs and individual thinkers was very similar to our members. So she understood very quickly, I'm going to have to figure out how to come in and take what's already in place. And we've been doing a great job with the Beautiful Guarantee and the positioning of our performance brands like Lee's, and we've kind of hung on to that. And after some work with a couple of major agencies and some research, we've evolved the Beautiful Guarantee and made it stronger. And a tagline is going to be Beautiful Made Affordable. And it resonated excellently with our focus groups. We've registered it. We've blended it into all of our integrated marketing strategies. It was extremely well received by not only the consumer groups we put it in front of, but also our members. And as we slowly move towards a unified message, a unified brand, you know, Jessica also understands that the immediate is more important right now. You've got to get traffic to generate sales. You've got to have a value proposition that is as good or better than what the home centers and the lumber liquidators and the empires and these major national advertisers are putting in front of the public. The great equalizer is the internet. The great equalizer is if you do that properly, you will get into that consideration set and have an opportunity, as much as they do, to capture that floor covering customer.
You brought up the internet. I know you guys have invested millions of dollars in the way you integrate bricks and mortars with your message on the web. Tell us, is that paying off?
Oh, yeah, big time. You know, we have an advantage. First of all, you know, when you've got thousands of stores all over North America and you've got multiple sites and URLs, I mean, we must own, I don't know, 30, all driving the message. And, you know, we have the financial capability of buying national key search words, so we're always in the top positions on paid search and all the major engines because of the content management, what we do across the country and across North America. We're always in the top on natural search. But you see, that's not the key. I mean, big deal. So if somebody clicks on your site and you paid some money to Google or whoever, it's what happens when they enter the site. And our results have been nothing short of phenomenal. Because of the content, because of the experience, because of the navigability, because of the brand position, because of what we offer. And we're just getting started. I mean, we are just getting started. This is a new territory. We're just getting started in social media. We did a massive blogging event. We co-hosted things with Sean. We had 16 of the most influential interior design bloggers in the country join us. That type of activity is what's needed going forward. And very few organizations can organize that to the level that we can.
All right, Eric. Well, I appreciate you sitting down with us. Always interesting to get with your group. I love coming down here. Thanks for inviting us because, you know, these are, as you said, some of the best in the business and a huge organization with, like you said, almost 950 members. So I've been talking to Eric Demery, who is president of Carpet One at the Summer Convention in Houston, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDaily.net.